I am so glad to be here today. I kept thinking, boy, I'll be glad when this day is over. And my nerves get to settle down a little bit. And, you know, I don't get real nervous anymore. But for some reason today I'm nervous. And I'll probably get past that. I feel like I'm standing up in that balcony. I'm so high up here. And that's really weird to me, you know. And that'd be all right. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing me and asking me to preach. And that's a great honor. It's a great honor to be able to expound on the Word of God. If you're looking for eloquent words today, you probably won't hear them. If you're looking for something fancy, you're not going to hear that. And I will, I do want to thank those that came of our family that's here. And there's several of them here today, but I want to tell you, I feel very honored that Granny came today to hear me. And she don't go very far from home to hear anybody. And so for her to come all the way out to Bethel Acres is, I feel very honored to have her here today. And so I'm not going to preach you anything new. I'm going to preach you my heart. Those of you that have been around for a few days, and especially some of you that have been to prayer meeting, we've been having prayer meeting on Thursday night, and Lauren Hubert are here tonight. We've been going to their house and having a prayer meeting on Thursday nights, and I will tell you, you're not going to hear much different than what you've been hearing at prayer meeting. And because I'm going to preach to you what's on my heart, okay? I'm not smart enough to come up with a message. I just have to preach to you what God gives me. So, if I get too long, Pastor, or I get too loud, or if you get tired of hearing me, I'll try to look at you every once in a while, remember, and, you just give me the signal and I'll cut her off. And, we'll go on down the road and do something different. But no, I'm just kidding. Praise God. You can go read, and I'm gonna read a scripture in a little bit, okay? But I'm gonna give you a little bit of background first, and that's kind of different for me because I don't usually do that. But I'm going to. You can go to the book of Acts, and you can read in the book of Acts, and you'll find that, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in all in one place. They were in one accord. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. And the Bible said, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You can back up to the chapter before that, and you'll find Jesus speaking to them right before he went away, and he said, "Go tarry in Jerusalem." And you can read it again over in, I don't remember if it's the book of Luke, I believe it was, in the last chapter you'll find there that Jesus speaking said, "Go tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." So we talk about one of the greatest experiences of the church, the Pentecostal church, that was birthed that day on the day of Pentecost, somewhere over in Jerusalem in the upper room. I've never been there. I've known people that's gone there, and they say it's quite an experience to be there in that upper room and know that's where the first outpouring of the Holy Ghost was. I don't know what happened from there, and I don't read a lot in history. I like history. Some things about history I haven't read a lot. We don't have a lot of account from there until around the 1900s, the turn of the century of the 1900s. But if I could take you back to around the year of 1900, 1904, you would find that there was some people that began to read. They begin to read the Bible, and they begin to figure out, you know what? There is such thing as a Holy Ghost. They begin to read and to find out, you know what, there is an outpouring that God has promised to us. There is something that we can have poured out on us. It is the Holy Ghost. It was the evidence of speaking in tongues. A man by the name of William Seymour, some of you may know who that is. William Seymour, I believe, if I have my story straight, lived in the state of Pennsylvania. His parents, he was born into a family of slaves. So we're around the first of the 1900s, the early 1900s. And he got a call and felt like he was called of God. He got a call to come to Houston or Dallas, Texas. And he went down there because they were preaching and teaching that the Holy Ghost was for our people, that the Holy Ghost could be obtained, that it was a gift from God with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And then you can read about him, and he came there. He was a black man, an old black man that came down to Texas, and segregation was such a big deal. They would not even let him sit in class with anyone else. He had to sit either on the porch or in another room and listen through the door as they taught about the Holy Ghost. He felt like God had called him, and some people called him from Los Angeles. He went to Los Angeles, California, to pastor a church there. He had been there for a couple of weeks, and he came to church on Sunday morning. I don't know if it was Sunday morning, but they went for the next service, and the doors were padlocked shut because the people in the church, some of them did not like what he was preaching. If it's all right with you, I'm going to move right down here where I can spit on y'all real good if you get very close to me. So I like to be down here on ground level, all right? Is that all right with you, Pastor? You don't mind. You're not taking pictures of me or something up here, are you? All right, because I have had him say you got to stand in one little spot to stay on camera. So let's hope there's not a camera today. But I want to tell you, he came to California. The church was padlocked. And instead of being disgusted and going back home, you know what they did? He went back to the house where he was staying. They decided they'd start a prayer meeting in that house. That prayer meeting started, and it got so great and so big that you could not even get close to the house for the people that was lined up and down the street. And he preached off of the porch to the people. It got so rambunctious and so carried away with an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that finally one day, as they were shouting and they were dancing and they were having a move of God, that the whole porch gave away and collapsed and they fell out in the street. They went down to a place, and I can't remember the address, but I do remember the street name. It was down on Azusa Street. And they found an old building that used to be a barn that they kept animals in. And you know what? They had such a hunger for the power of God. They did not care that it stunk. I looked up here this morning and thought, you know what? We've got beautiful altars. We've got a beautiful pulpit. He had a pulpit that was made out of crates. They had a 2x that was laid across two chairs. But you know what they found in that old building? They found a move of the Holy Ghost that God had promised years before. Somewhere down the line, from the day of Pentecost to the early 1900s, somewhere somebody looked. And we had a generation of people that did not even know what it was to see a move of the Holy Ghost. 1906, in April of 1906, is when Azusa was birthed. It was from there that many Pentecostal organizations came forth from Azusa Street. But you know what they knew about? All they knew was God gave us a promise. God promised us that He would send us the Holy Ghost. He promised us that we could have power, that we could be endued with power from on high. That's all they had. How long has it been since you've seen a move of the Holy Ghost? I'm not talking about just the service. I'm very thankful for the services we've had. You know what I did this morning? How many of you know that this church has a website? How many of you ever go on there and listen to your pastor preach? I didn't even realize. I knew you had a website because I've been on there when we first came out here. That's how we knew what time to come. And so this morning I looked it up, and sure enough, there was that message. And I plugged the HDMI cord into the computer and plugged it into the TV, and I turned it on. And you know what I started listening to? Nothing changes until something changes. Down inside of me, there is something that is boiling over and over. I told it the other night at prayer meeting, long about when I was 15, 16 years old. I remember walking into church one Sunday night. We was in revival, and we didn't have three-night revivals when I was a boy. We didn't have five-night revivals. We may go for 5 weeks in revival. We never missed a night, and every night we was there early. Usually early enough to get in the prayer room before church started. And we had to, wasn't no milling around and visting. We wasn't concerned about how your day was. We was concerned about getting there and praying until we had an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. We got there that Sunday night, probably around 4:30, 5 o'clock. And we walked in that prayer meeting, walked in that prayer room and prayed. I remember standing with my hands in the air. A man walked by and just touched me. And I remember falling to the floor and wedging the door shut with my head and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave utterance. You know what? At 2 o'clock the next morning, we finally let out of church with about 13 people baptized with the moving of the Holy Ghost. You know what we need today is a move of the Holy Ghost, or we're going to have a generation that's back to the place that all we have is a promise from God, but we do not have an experience in the moving of the Holy Ghost. I'm not a politician. I don't talk a lot of politics. You get me on a soapbox and I'll get wound up and don't even know half of what I'm talking about. I don't know a lot about politics. But this I do know. I dread the day when my son turns 20 years old to think about what this world's going to be like. And the very thing that sustains him in this world, the very thing that will take him through, is the very thing that happened in this church the other day. And my son looked at me with a fear, and he said, "Why are they talking funny?" Made me realize, my Lord, what have I done? What have I let slip through my fingers that we do not see a move of the Holy Ghost? So let me go back to one of my scriptures. You can put it up on the screen now. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is the only thing we have to go by. And it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." Who is it he's talking to? Go back and read about it. He was not talking to the sinners. He was not talking to those that were not at church. What he was talking to is my people, which are called by my name. Whenever we decide we've had enough of the devil, when we decide we've been backed up far enough, when we decide... Am I screaming too loud for y'all? I'm sorry, I get worked up when I preach. I get wound up. You know why? because I realized what we have. And you see, I came from the day whenever we knew what it was like. And how many years now do I know? I've seen one person make laps around the church. And I want to tell you, I about jumped out of my skin that day when he jumped up and took off running while the pastor was preaching. I thought, good Lord, I didn't know anybody even knew how to do that anymore. Hey, it ain't no bragging. It ain't nothing on me. But I remember the days when I ran down the back of the pews. I remember the days when I'd run and not even think twice about it. Make laps around the church with my hands in the air. I didn't care what anybody thought. I wasn't doing it for anybody else. I was worshiping God. All I cared about was that I was in contact with the Almighty. In this church, how many people do we have in this church that have an affliction in their body? Man. And you know what we do? Don't get me wrong. Don't think I'm going to preach against doctors, because I don't. If I get home today and one of them kidney stones hit, I promise you, I'm going to the hospital. Unless my wife can get a hold of God real fast, I'm going to get a shot of morphine. I'm telling you right now. I'm all about it. So, and not that I'm a druggie. That sounded bad, didn't it? That's not what it's all about. But I don't like to hurt. I don't like to hurt. Does it amaze you that we hold in our possession the very essence of healing? By the one that created us. Not by the one that has to study medicine. But the one that created us. The doctor will tell you, it's all in vain. There's nothing more I can do. It's an illness that you'll have to death. We can treat that, but we cannot fix it. And while in our hands we hold the very essence of healing, we hold the very life there is. When man says it can't happen, but the truth of God's word says those stripes were laid across his back for that we can be healed. We want our kids to go to school and get an education that they might be a doctor or a lawyer. We try our best. And please don't get me wrong, because I don't have a problem with playing ball. I don't have a problem with going to the doctor. I don't have a problem with these things. My problem is we teach our kids. They know every basketball player there is. They know every football player there is. But they do not know about the moving of the Holy Ghost. We've come to a generation where we must entertain our kids and entertain our people when all we need is a move of God. God. Pastor, I've been through hard. I was supposed to put salve on it, wasn't I? Somebody comes to me and they say, Rodney, I've got a problem financially. You know what we want to know? Well, do you have a good enough credit score to go to the bank and get some money? Someone comes to you and they say, we've been having marriage problems. If we're not careful, the first thing we'll do is say, man, I know a real good marriage counselor. Man, I have back problems. Hope I wasn't pointing at somebody that's a marriage counselor, was I? Man, I got back problems. I know a back doctor that is the best there is. We are the church. Where's that scripture up there again? You put that scripture back up there for me. Who's he talking to? If who? If who? Who? My people. Any Christians here today? How many of you are saved? How many of you have been born again? How many of you, your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? He said, if my people, which are called by my name, well, they have to do is do what I ask. Humble themselves. Pray. Turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven. Oh, you're not hearing me today. You're not hearing me. We are what? We are Pentecostal. We are Pentecostal. I dare say, there's some of you sitting here today that can tell me about seeing services. And I'm so sick of hearing it. I know it. I know it. I've said it. It's not all in the shout. No, you're right. It's not. But good Lord, I sure wish we'd get back to it. It sure left some good experiences in my life. It sure left some things in my life that I do not forget about. What are you saying? What I'm saying is, we can have a move of God. How many kids I got under here? Let's see. I don't know where to start at. How many children in here 16 and under? Come up here. Come up here to the front with me, will you? 16 and under. Don't bring your wheelchair up. I know you're not 16. You ain't even close. 16 and under. Where's my son at? There he is. He's coming. Y'all stand right up here for me for just a minute. I see mom smiling. That's my kids up there. Look at them. Isn't it awesome? Is it awesome? What kind of value do you put on their spiritual life? Let me get right down personal with you. It ain't nothing bad, no nothing, I think. But what's the value of them kids up there for you and their life in church? Or are we going to let them give up to the devil and let the devil have them? Are they going to... Pastor, I think you got some grandkids up here. Steve, do we just let them go? Or is it time we as the church decide that we need a move of God for our kids to know what Pentecost really is? Or are they going to be a generation like the early 1900s that some of these begin to read in the Bible and say, you know what? There's promises in the Bible for us that I don't even know anything about because somebody failed to teach me about those. I was preaching one night at Johnson. I'll never forget this, probably as long as I live. I remember I asked Granny to come and stand in the front of the church, and Melanie's mom came and stood at the front, and Melanie came and stood, and Taylor came and stood. I had four generations standing there, all the way from Granny, who was probably at that time 92 years old, something like that, or in her 90s, and all the way down to Taylor that was probably around 15, 16 years old. I asked my mother-in-law, I call her Mom, okay? I asked Mom, I said, now, you tell me, did you see the power of God moving in church? Did Granny teach you about it? Yes, she did. I asked Melanie, I said, and I don't mean to embarrass my wife. I hope this didn't embarrass her then, so I hope it don't now, but it's a reality check. I asked her, I said, do you know what it was like to see the moving of the Holy Ghost? the power of God till people shouted and ran and spoke in tongues and people were healed. She said, yes, I do. I went to Taylor and I said, Taylor, do you know what it's like to see the moving of the Holy Ghost? And her answer was, no, I do not know. I have seen it very little. You know what it tells me? There's a generation that lets some things slip through our fingers. And it's time we as the church go back to what we had and pick it up to save these right here, that they know what a move of God is. Okay, y'all can go sit down. Thank you. So I ask you, what will you do? What will you do? What is the value of your kids and your grandkids? I want to tell you what the value of my son is. The value of my son is that I'm going to be one of those people that are called, because I know that I've been called by God. I'm going to be one of those people that decide I want to pray and I want to seek God until when my son gets up in the middle of the night and he's sick and he don't know what to do, he'll come in there and wake me up and say, Dad, I need you to pray that God will touch me. When he gets a little older and gets married and he gets into marriage problems, then he'll come to me and knock on that door and he'll say, Dad, I need you to pray that God will fix my marriage. What are you going to have for your children? Steve, do you know what it's like to see a great outpouring of God's Spirit? Yeah. Boy, y'all's looking at me like you're like I'm crazy. The crowd won't be this big next time, Pastor. You better not tell him you asked me to preach again. You have to surprise him. You're not going to be here either. What's the value? What's it worth to you? We fill football stadiums with 80,000 people. It does not matter that the sun's shining and it's 110 degrees outside. And they sit in the sun. And they scream until they're hoarse. They cannot talk. You'll see them on Monday morning. They'll come and work and they'd have no voice left. And you'll say, what in the world did you do? Oh, I went to the game Saturday. We'll take them to the basketball game. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not preaching to you it's wrong to go. I like to watch football. I like to watch basketball. We'll spend untold hundreds of dollars to get in. And then you'll pay the ridiculous price of $5 for something to drink. And $10 for a corn dog, which you wouldn't pay nowhere else. You'd gripe if you had to pay anywhere else for a corn dog that high or a hot dog. To see people that make millions of dollars to play ball games. And we won't hardly take our children to church because the weather is too hot. Pastor, am I meddling now? We won't hardly bring our children because of all the... And please don't get me wrong, I know there's extracurricular activities, but we've got our priorities messed up. We've got things confused and messed up when what we need is a move of God. And we let it slide by because it has become the most unimportant thing in our lives. Y'all really gonna be glad when this day's over now, ain't you? If my people, I wish this church was full of people to hear me preach this message, but it's not. You're here. Do you know where Azusa Street started? Azusa Street started over there after the church doors got locked up. And they went back to the people's house they were staying in. And it started with a prayer meeting. Because somebody said, y'all can have prayer meeting in my house. We're going to seek God until God gives us a move. And it got so great. Did you know when they first started the Azusa Street Church? You know what time service started? At 10:30 in the morning is when people started coming to pray. And I think if I remember reading right, sometimes he preached 2 and 3 messages a day. But church wouldn't get out till midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning. And when it first started, for the first 3 days, they had service around the clock for 3 days straight with the power of God fallen. And you know what? When I read about it this time, I read a different account than I had before. And you know what I found out? They faced some opposition. They had some people that did not like what was going on. And they would protest and they would fight with them. But you know what they did? They dug right on in there and got a hold of God. And they could not stop the power of God moving. I know a man had a church, used to pastor a church on Sim Street in Norman. My sister and brother-in-law will know him if I called his name. They was having revival one night. The power of God was moving so strong and so great. He said the back door, somebody walked in the back door, and he said it was, I don't remember if he said it was the police or the fire department. I think he said the police. And he said, I walked back there to see what they wanted. And they said, sir, you're going to have to settle down. Your neighbors are complaining about what's going on and the noise y'all are making. And he said, I looked at that police officer and I said, sir, I didn't start it. If you want to stop it, you go ahead. I didn't start it, and I'm not going to stop it. He said that police stood there and looked at that crowd of people while they shouted and they spoke in tongues. And he said whenever he turned to go out the door, he said, you just tell your people not to be peeling their tires out when they leave tonight. And he said, but you, I didn't start it, and I'm not going to stop it. I want to tell you, you cannot stop the moving. The Bible said, and I can't remember exactly where it's at off the top of my head, but he said, if two of you will agree on earth as touching anything, that you can ask what you will and it shall be done. You say, man, I wish we had 1,000. Yeah, me too, but I only need one more because I'm one. And all I need is one more to agree. And if I get one more to agree that we can have a move of God and a great move of God, you say, will it happen next Sunday? I don't know, but I'd sure hate to miss next Sunday and see if it happened. All I need is one person that will agree with me that we can have a great move of God. And whatever we ask, it shall be done. I got to read one of my favorite scriptures this morning in class. That the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And that's the promises of God. He said, is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed any sin, it shall be forgiven them. Elias was a man of like passion, just like we are. But he prayed that it rain not, and it rained not. Y'all believe that? That's the word. If we believe that, we can believe everything that's written in there. The promises of God, they are for everyone. They are for every generation. What was it Peter said that day after the Holy Ghost fell? He said, this is for me. It's to all generations. The young, the old. To everybody. As many as the Lord our God shall call. This is what was prophesied of the prophet Joel. In the last day. We're living in the last day. Do you want your children to face this world and not have a move of the Holy Ghost? Praise God. What do you want? What do you want out of church? What do you want out of coming to this place and meeting here three times a week? What do you want out of this for your children and for yourself? We could be the same old church like everybody else is. Or we can pray until God sends us a move that will change this area, that will change our lives. How many of you believe that? All right, Pastor, I'm going to turn it back to you. Let you have it. What do you want me to do with it? You want me to let them pray? Okay, that's a good idea. Stand with me.